Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender, and you are at the Revelation Series. I'm happy to be with you here today. And I'm wearing the same sweater I wore yesterday. I added a jacket to it, and people might have seen this little logo, and they probably thought, oh, Martin Zender's wearing Ralph Lauren. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is a little dog. This is a non-brand, or it might be the Pooch brand, or this might be Lassie, or Rin Tin Tin. I don't know. I'll give you a close-up of it here on the laundry cam. You're totally missing this if you're not on the laundry cam. Look, this is a Pooch. That's a dog. I don't know. What kind of dog is that? It almost looks like it's not a greyhound. I don't know, but yeah. I don't think this brand even has a name, so there you have it. There you have it. Living high. If I do have a couple Ralph Lauren shirts, but they were gifts. Yeah, I'm not the label kind of guy. Not to say it's not fun, but listen, I boast in my weakness. So I walk around with this dog sweater. I'm going, that's right. That's right. I got the dog logo. Eat your heart out. All right, let's go on the new earth, because I think it's a heck of a lot better than this one. God says in verse 6, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the origin and the consummation. King James is, I think, the first and the last. That last, I don't like that. I like consummation because it speaks of a purpose. A purpose is consummated. The first and the last, even end. I don't like the beginning and the end. Sounds like it's the end of everything. People talk about the end of the world. You remember the Mayan calendar? They thought in 2012 was going to be the end of the world. What's that? What is the end of the world? People think at the end of the world, everything's just going to stop. The lights are going to go out. No, but a consummation, I think inherent in that word is the thought of a purpose. And so I like that. It's a rich word. Comes from the Greek, of course, and the concordant. I trusted here that it has made a, you know, it makes me want to look it up now. It makes me want to look it up. See what the Greek word is behind the word consummation. And what's interesting here is when you do find the Greek word, you'll see the English element. And the English element is like the primitive base meaning of the word. And sometimes it's very illustrative. It might not be illustrative at all here, but I feel like doing this. Unfortunately, I can't see. Origin and the consummation. Let me find it here. I can't even see. Seriously. And I don't have my... Let me get my phone light. Hang on, folks. One of these live Bible studies here. I like the details. The origin and the consummation. I have a feeling it's a rich word. If it's not, then we've all wasted our time here. All right, I have my light. You remember the bunker light? Consummation, finish. See finish. Okay, why didn't you translate it finish? Why do I have to see finish? This frustrates me when this happens. Consummation, see finish. Why is it translated finish sometimes and consummation other times? Should be one word for one Greek word if possible. Finish. Teleo, that's the Greek word for consummation. And in fact, finish is the English element. To me, that's also, I'm glad I looked that up actually, because that speaks of accomplishment also, the finish of a thing. When you set a goal for yourself, for instance, a race, you finish the race. Paul talks about, I have finished the race. And so finish, it's better than last, it's better than end, the end. No, it's the finish, it's the finish. When a runner crosses the finish line, does he die? Do they crate him away and throw him in a cave and entomb him? No, his life continues, but he's finished a purpose. So the Aeonian times has a purpose. And that purpose will be completed. And it doesn't mean that things stop at the end of the eons. And it doesn't mean that this is, I've always wondered this, and I think I know the answer. I used to think that at the consummation of the eons, then that was like it. But I mean, I know God kept going and we kept going because we were immortal. But I thought that was the end of time. You know, I thought it was the end of time and then we start eternity. But is there such a thing as starting eternity? That doesn't make sense. Because start is a time word and eternity is a non-time word. So there's nobody starting eternity anywhere. So it made me think that maybe it's just the Aeonian times that end, right? And there's new time period that begins at the consummation of the eons. Because when Paul talks of the consummation in 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about the consummation of the eons. What if they're called, what if it's, they're called something different, these time periods? What if they're like the Freds? So we end the eon, the Onian times, and start the Fred times. And there's Fred number one, Fred number two, and then like those times run out, and then there's Barney times, and there's Wilma times, Bam Bam, like third Bam Bam, living the third Bam Bam. That'd be great. The fourth Bam Bam. Sounds like I'm being funny. It is rather humorous, but I'm trying to stop making assumptions. And I like to say in the past that everybody ends up with God in heaven at the end. Now, I know that everybody's going to be with God for eternity, but I need to quit saying in heaven, because we have no indication that this new earth ends. We know that the earth we're sitting on right now is going to end. It's combusted with fire, according to 2 Peter. Yeah. And the first earth was disrupted by water. So, the scripture says nothing about the new earth ending, the new earth exploding. So it would have to be an assumption to say that when the Aeonian times end, therefore the new earth will be no more. Why does it have to be that way? The Freds will start, and the new earth will continue throughout the Freds, then the Barneys, then the Wilmas, and then the time periods I'm really looking forward to, the Bam Bams. No assumptions here. To him who is thirsting, I shall be giving of the spring of the water of life gratuitously. Verse 6, he who is conquering shall be enjoying this allotment. You see, this is still an Israel thing. To whom, this goes back to the end of eon 3, this the end of this eon. Whoever shall overcome will eat of the tree of life. The overcomers get into the kingdom. Those who do not take the mark of the beast, those who suffer persecution and come through, stay true to Christ, they're the ones who eat of the log of life. I haven't gotten to the log of life. I haven't explained to you yet why that's dead. The log of life, you think, what a crazy translation. And yet, it's actually not the tree of life. It's the log of life. Yeah, that's in chapter 22. We're going to be getting to that. It's dead wood, and there's a reason for it. Fantastic truth. So, we still have this Israelitish truth here, and you're going to see why, because the New Jerusalem, is still all about Israel. He who is conquering shall be enjoying this allotment. And an allotment, see, I can stop at every single word here. An allotment is a special portion. When Israel were given their portion of land in the promised land, they cast lots. So that word lot is in allotment. And they threw lots, and it determined what tribe got what tract of land. And we're going to see that three tribes camp on this side of the temple enclosure. Three tribes camp on this side. Three tribes camp on this side. It's going to be the same thing in the New Jerusalem. So an allotment, I mean, you're going to be real, real cozy with the leadership of the New Jerusalem if you have a special allotment. But this comes only to those who are conquering. This is not to say that those who have not conquered are not here. Just as the new earth, this as the millennial earth, is populated with people who are not immortal. In other words, they are mortal. They're still dying. They still live in the benefit. They still live happily under the jurisdiction of a great, great government. Even though they're not immortal themselves, they come under the jurisdiction of a pleasant rulership. So likewise, on the new earth, not everybody is immortal, not everybody's an Israelite, not everyone has conquered, and yet there are billions, probably, of people living on this new earth who are nevertheless benefiting from those who have conquered, and they're living under a very pleasant jurisdiction. Thank you very much. Yes. Talk about good government. The government keeps improving. God says, I make all things new. And the government keeps improving. This is a vast improvement even over the millennial government. Who is conquering shall be enjoying this allotment. And actually, there's three vertical stripes over the word this in the Concordant version, which is the plural. So it should read, it literally reads, I should say, in the Greek, he who is conquering shall be enjoying these allotments, and I shall be a God to him, and he shall be a son to me. Don't get hung up on the gender word there, the him. there's going to be females here too, because as far as I know, male and female is only eliminated in the body of Christ. There's neither male nor female, because that's a superior state of being, neither male nor female. Believe me, it's a superior state of being. I think there are still male and female on the new earth. I know for sure there is in the millennium, because Christ goes out of his way to say that they're not marrying in the millennium. Why would you need to say that if there weren't male or female? So he says it because there is still male and female. And on the new earth, it talks about all the generations of the eon of the eons. Do you remember all those cool phrases, the eons? I won't get on a sidetrack here. And I think that phrase is used in... Oh, here's the word doom. I just turned the page. Remember I talked about doom yesterday? Remind me to talk about the all the generations of the eon of the eons. I think that's the wording there. It's speaking of the last eon, the eon of the eons. It's one eon, the greatest eon, the eon of all the other eons is the fifth eon. That's the eon of the eons, like the holy of the holies, the holy of the holies. That's the holy place compared to other holy places. There were other holy places. It wasn't just the holy of holies. No, it was the sanctuary that went before it, right, where the candlestick and the showbread were. And then you have the laver and the altar outside there, and then you have the wall going around the whole thing. That's holy. The sorig, where Gentiles couldn't go through. It's all holy, but it's the holy of the holies. Likewise, the eon of the eons. This is the exquisite wording that you're going to find in the concordant version. And there's also the phrase eons of the eons. That speaks of the last two eons compared to the five eons, the eons of the eons. Then you read of the eon of the eons. Then you read of the eon of the eons, speaking of the fifth eon as it relates only to the fourth eon and not to the other eons. These are magnificent distinctions that you will not get in a common English version, including the KJV, the NASB, the NIV, because they take all these delicious nuances of the Greek and they translate it forever and ever. I'm not kidding you. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. No, I'm not crazy. The common English translators are. They've taken eon of the eon and making it forever and ever. They've taken eon of the eons and making it forever and ever. They've taken eons of the eons and made it forever and ever. No distinction whatsoever. They did the same thing with the word hell, only they did a reverse thing. They took three different Greek words. Oh, no, yeah, it's the same mistake. Yeah, it's the same mistake. They took three different Greek words and made it hell. Hades? We'll translate it hell. Tartarus? We'll translate it hell. Gehenna? I will translate that hell, too. Just because we're in a bit of a rut. What have you done to us? You've destroyed it. And you've destroyed these wonderful time phrases by translating them all forever and ever. But anyway, I look at this doom. I was trying to find that phrase, the eon of the eons, to prove to you that there, I believe they are reproducing. I believe that there are families on the new earth. People are reproducing. There are still men and women having sex. Whether it's the immortals who are having sex or the mortals, I'm not sure. Probably just the mortals. And as I told you, I believe there are many mortals on the new earth who are being sustained by the leaves from the log of life. And verse 3 of chapter 22, I'm going ahead here, and there shall be no more doom. I wonder why that wasn't mentioned in chapter 21. It just says there's going to be no more death, no more mourning, no more clamor, no more misery. Clamor, you know how much I hate clamor, right? You know how much I hate clamor. I'm tempted to do a week on clamor, but I'm going to resist that temptation. Why not mention there's no doom here? He's saving it. A doom is an extra special piece of crap that we have to go through in this life. And so it's like we're holding back. Somebody's going to be disappointed reading Revelation 21, verse 4. Okay, no more death. Sure, no more mourning. That's great. No more clamor. Whew, thank God for that. No more misery. That's all great. But John, what about doom? Is there going to be any more doom? As if doom could still exist when you've already gotten rid of death, clamor, misery, and mourning. Apparently, that possibility exists because it's a different Greek word here. that appears in verse 3, and there shall be not more any doom. That's the exact wording. Let me repeat that because it's strange. And there shall be not more any doom, and the throne of God and the Lambkin shall be in it. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, Friday, I am going to show you the size of the New Jerusalem. I'm going to show you a model of the size of the New Jerusalem. I'm going to discuss the shape of the New Jerusalem. I don't really care what shape it's in. I don't. It can be a parallelogram, for all I care, or an isosceles triangle, or a rectangle. Just as long as it comes down from heaven, sparkling, gleaming, and making a hum, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be watching it. I might be, you and I, as members of the body of Christ, we might be those people sending it down. We're like loosening its moorings and sending it down. Who knows? Going to talk about that. And going to talk about the height of this city. Whether it's a parallelogram or a pyramid or a square, the height of it is astounding. I'm going to tell you where that goes, how far high. I'm starting to talk like the Concordant version here. I'm going to tell you how far high that thing is. But I'm going to save that for tomorrow. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, we are not required to overcome or to conquer in order to taste of godly delights that are even higher than the New Jerusalem that descends from earth. We, by default, as members of the body of Christ, whether we conquer or not, whether we overcome anything or not, whether we sin like crazy or don't sin at all, by virtue of Christ's and God's choice of us, we are chosen in Him before the disruption of the world to have the place of a son. We are seated on high, whether we conquer, overcome, or not, and we are going to occupy a place among the celestials that's even higher than the New Jerusalem, even before it descends to earth. How about them apples?